you have your Bible this morning, be finding the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 6. The book of Nehemiah, chapter number 6. It's funny that we talk about different things going on in our country, you know. Nehemiah was a statesman. Nehemiah was a man who was burdened about the affairs of men. He was a man that didn't have an ego. He was a man that wouldn't give up. He was a man that would present himself before the king. Not for just himself, but the affairs of his Jews, his brethren. He did not care what it took, what everybody thought. He just wanted to get the job done. And I'm glad there's still some Nehemiahs hanging around that'll still do some things around the house of God and do something for a nation, and not do something only for a nation, but do something for a world. You see, a ministry touches the world. You know, we look around this church and we see how it touches our church. But it not only touches our church, it touches the city. And not only does it touch this city, it touches this county. And not only does it touch this county, it touches this state. And as it touches this state, it goes across a nation. And then it goes across a world. The Bible said that His Word wouldn't come back to Him void. Thank God we belong to a church that His Word is going out. See, a lot of people have the church still so locked down, the Word never get out of the church. But thank God we have a church where the Word can be spread. You see, you'll get to heaven, and there'll be people come up to you and say, I know you really don't know me, but through y'all's ministry down here in Bowden, Georgia, you was able to reach somebody on the other side of the world, and I'm that person that you reached. And God will reveal that to us in the last days and when we get to heaven. Let me read a few verses here found in the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 6. We'll start reading in verse number 1. It says this, Now it came to pass, when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I built the wall, and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. Don't think because you build, somebody ain't going to go out against it. Somebody's going to like what you're doing. You see, the devil don't like what we're doing around here. And every time there's a wall built and the breach is repaired within that, the devil gets mad. And that's what Sanballat and Geshem and Tobiah was a picture of here. Verse number 3, it says, And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down on you? And this morning, I want to look at this thought that Nehemiah says in verse number 3. He says, I cannot come down. I cannot come down. Nehemiah said he had a great work going. I wonder this morning in your heart, do you realize what great work we have around here? You see, if Nehemiah would have took one step off that wall, that work would have ceased. It would have, and you said, well, I can get off that wall and just get right back on it and it won't bother me. Nehemiah said, if I were to come down off this wall, the work will stop. You see, Nehemiah poured his heart into it. He had poured his soul into it. It was not only just his ambition, but it was his burden. You see, Nehemiah had a burden to build. And he had looked around that city. Nehemiah had sent unto his brethren. And he said, and Hananiah wrote unto him and told him how the city was burnt down. It was almost rubbish. Everywhere you looked around, it was down to the ground, and smoke was boiling off of it. Let me say, by way of introduction this morning, Nehemiah not only had a burden, but he was a builder. You see, a lot of us have a burden this morning, but I wonder if we're able and we'd be willing to do what it takes to build it back up. You see, I remember one time we took a trip out to South Dakota, and we was out there with the Indian reservation, and we was able to help them put on a Sunday school for the little Indian boys and girls that were out there. And I remember having a great burden for those Indians. You know, if you've ever been out there and you've ever seen that reservation, it's not uncommon to see little kids just 5 and 6 years old walking up and down the road. The mom and daddy's been gone at work doing whatever, and the kids just walking around up and down the road just doing whatever they please. We don't see that much here around our house. But let me tell you, and God began to speak to him, and I had such a burden for those people while I was there. You see, but Nehemiah had more than just a burden. See, I had a burden for those Indians, But God didn't call me to that. Nehemiah had a burden, but he also had a call to those Jews for that remnant that was still left there in Jerusalem. Nehemiah was going to turn around and go back to his home city and see it waste, lithe waste. I want to say three things this morning, and it'll be quick, why we should not come down. The first thing I want to say is don't come down because of observation. You see, Nehemiah went back, and Nehemiah didn't. If he wouldn't have had this burden, it'd been easy for Nehemiah to look at that stuff and look at it and see it lie waste and say, if the work's too much for me, I'll go back. You see, today our churches are looking at the work. We look at things that's happening in our country, things that are happening in our nation, and they look at it and say it's too far gone. And you know what we're doing as a churches and as a Christian, as all across this nation, we're turning back because we say the work's too great. What if we was a Nehemiah that said the work's too small? It may be great for us, but look at our God and look how little it is to Him. We always talked about how big our problem is. Why don't we talk about how big our God is? You see, Nehemiah could have turned around because of observation. I want to say, first of all, he could have turned around when he heard the words from his brethren. You see, he sent in to Hananiah, and they got back about the remnant that was left, and he heard the words. Anybody ever got any bad news and you just didn't want to face the news that you had just got? You see, I can just see old Hananiah come up to Nehemiah and say, look, you don't even want to go back and look. He said, the old hometown that you grew up in, where you was raised at, where you once went to church at, where you went to school at, where you had all of your belongings to and your beginnings at, lithe waste. And he heard those words, the sounds of it. Not only that, he's seen the sights of it. You see, he took a little field trip in Nehemiah chapter number 2, verse number 17. Turn there right quick. I want to read this verse. Nehemiah chapter number 2, verse number 17. We see Nehemiah took a little field trip into his city. He said, I know I've heard the sounds of it, and I know it sounds bad. He said, but I just got to go see. I want to see it for myself. And he says this in Nehemiah chapter number 2 and verse number 17. He said, then I said unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we are no more reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. And so the king's words that he had spoken to me, and they said unto me, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. You see, they saw that the work was good. I'm going to tell you something here in a minute that I saw in this that helped me out. Let me tell you this, first of all, Nehemiah saw the sights of it. And if anybody had ever known, you know, to see a whole city lithe waste and to see that the work that was going to take to build it back to the city that he once knew it was, he could have turned back. You see, there's been times in my life where I looked at something and I said, man, that's too hard. That's too great. And because of what my observation and what I saw, it made me want to turn back. Let me tell you this thing in serving God. There's going to come times in your life that you're going to look at that work that He set you out to do, the little ministry that He's gave you to do, and you're going to say, it's too great, and I want to turn back, and you want to look at it. Let me say this morning. It may look dark on the outside, but we got to look at it on the inside. I thank God on April 8, 1998, there was a God in heaven that gave me a sight that looked past this world and let me look over into His world. See, we spend our life looking into things down here that's going to burn up. But let me tell you, when you look over in His world, it looks pretty good on the other side. You see, there's a brighter day coming. And let me tell you, the work down here is short. I began to think about this week. I began to think how old my son was. I remember when I just held him in the hospital, and I said, he's a newborn baby. And I remember when he first began to walk. He was about 1 year old when he began to pull up and walk a little bit. And now he's 10 years old. It seemed like yesterday I was holding him over in that hospital over in Carrollton. But today he's growing up and he's 10 years old. And it was like that. You see, I want you to know this morning that your ministry is short here on this work. Here on this earth, Jesus served God. He was 30 years old before he even set out to do his own work. He only ministered for 3.5 years. His lifelong ministry here on this earth was somewhere around 3.5 years. And think about what he accomplished in 3.5 years. Think about Nehemiah, what he was about to set forth unto. If he would have turned around, we all know Jerusalem is our the city that where everybody's got their eye on this morning about the religious. Just think if Nehemiah would have turned around and said, I won't go back and build Jerusalem, how that would have changed everything that we know today. We know Jesus was there in Jerusalem. That's where he was crucified. And every eye today, and if you know anything about Churchdom, is looking toward Jerusalem to see what's happening. Nehemiah could have turned around and said, the sight of that city is too great. I won't go back. I'll let somebody else go do it. And I think a lot of times in our lives we let other people go do the job that we're called to do. The sights of it. Not only that, you'll see the servants of it. Look in verse number 12 in Nehemiah chapter number 2. It says this. Look at verse number 11. He says, so I came to Jerusalem, was there 3 days. And I rose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. I want to say this about his servants. And God has showed me this. Nehemiah hadn't told him what he was going to do. But he still had men that was going to serve. You say, what do you think about that? This pastor may not have told you everything he wants to do around here, but because he wants us to do it, I think it's all right for us to do it. You see, a lot of people say, God ain't showed me to do that. And they'll get out of the ministry because some man will stand up and say, we're going to tear out this wall. And you say, well, I don't agree with that. Maybe God didn't show it to you, but he's done showed it to him. And I'm going to tell you this, you can't serve Christ without serving your pastor this morning. You see, a lot of people can't serve their pastor, and therefore they're not serving Christ. You see, there's more things in this. Somebody said, well, you talking about preacher religion. It ain't got anything to do with preacher religion. There's nothing even found in the Bible about that. Let me tell you this. Paul said, I had 10,000 instructors in Christ, but got one father. Let me tell you what, I'm indebted to that man that's sitting in that chair over there because what he's taught me. Let me tell you this, Liberty Baptist Church, we have more of a responsibility than you know of this morning because of the things we've been taught. You see, there's people that's worshiping God today ignorantly, and they'll go to a church, and they have less responsibility than we do because we've been taught it. You see, we'll go to heaven with great responsibility. Nehemiah told these servants, he hadn't even told them he was going to build that wall, but they went with him anyway. And just because God hadn't showed you what all he's going to do around here don't mean that you've got to be against it. See, Nehemiah, if all of his men would have turned around and left him alone, he would have never been able to rebuild that wall. Don't come down because of observation. And I do want to hit this right quick. Look down in chapter number 2 and verse number 4. We see Nehemiah's gone before the king. And he says this in verse 4, at the end of that verse, and he's making a prayer unto God of heaven, talking to the king Artaxerxes. This is what he says. He said, so I pray to the God of heaven. And he's praying to God, but he's talking to the king. And this is what he said. Then the king said unto me, for what hast thou, dost thou make the request? Verse 5, it says, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. I want you to know, first of all, he had pleasure from the king. Let me tell you this morning, you got pleasure from the king. You might have got up this morning and said, I'm on my way to the house of God. Let me tell you, we're here today because God showed us his favor. The only way I'm here teaching Sunday school this morning is because God came to me in the power of the Holy Ghost on April 8, 1998, and he wrote my name in heaven because he showed me favor. Let me tell you what, church, we've been highly favored from the king. Let me tell you what, Nehemiah was pleasing the king, and he was highly favored. Not only did he please the king, he had letters from the king. See, he had papers. Some of y'all need to open up your book and look at your papers. And here, we got some marching orders, and that is to build. You see, a lot of people is not opening up their papers. Nehemiah, I guarantee you, everywhere he sent him, he showed them his papers. He's like, look at here. I got my papers right here.
Yes, sir.
I got my orders right here. You see, a lot of people have put their papers back up. But let me tell you what. I got my papers here this morning. And it says it's going to get me through to heaven, sure. He said, I'm one, as a sister read this morning, he said, I'm not leaving you nor forsake you. He's here with me all the way. And he had his papers from the king. Not only did he have that, he had his provision from the king. You see, look down in verse number 8. He said, and I carried that letter. You know where he carried it to? He carried it to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give him timber for the beams and the gates. You know what he did? He took that letter that the king gave him. He said, look here, I got my papers, and I want you to give me some provision because I got my paper. And I want to say this, where God has a plan, He's always got provision. You see, God's got a great plan for each one of us. He's got a great plan for your home. He's got a great plan for this church. And wherever He's got a plan, He's always got provision. You see, when Jesus went to the cross, He already had a plan in mind. It wasn't a new plan to Him. Many times Peter had tried to get in the way of Jesus going to the cross. Many times, if I read my Bible right, there's four times that Peter got in the way of Jesus, trying to get in the way of Jesus going to the cross. When man was trying to lay their hands on Jesus, Peter said, no, I'll take care of it with a sword. And he tried to cut off Malchus's ear. He tried to take care of it with his speech. He tried to keep four times Peter tried to keep Jesus from going to the cross, but he did not understand God's plan at that time. But let me tell you this, where God has a plan, He's always got provision. Not only that, He's got protection. Look down in verse number 9. This is what He said. And then He said, I came to the governors beyond the river, and I gave them the king's letters, and the king has set captains of the army of the horsemen with me. Let me tell you what, you ain't alone. I may look like I'm up here alone by myself, but I ain't. I got somebody with me. And he'll never leave me nor forsake me, and He's my protector, and He's my provider. Nehemiah couldn't come down because of his observation. You may be here this morning and things may look dark and they may look dim. Don't come down. See, there's a generation that just left out of here that went downstairs. And if you were to look at it and say it looks too bad, you know what? It might affect those that are downstairs. It might not only affect that generation, it may affect the generation that come behind them. You see, I got a family right across the road from where I live. And if I know it right, I see the grandmother lives there, the grandson lives right next to her, and then the mom and dad live right next to him. There's three generations there. And God's got them on my heart, and I got a great burden for them to get saved. You see, if I can just touch one life, the whole generation, three generations of people could be touched. And they can leave it to some kids to come on behind them. You say, I didn't grow up in a godly heritage. You can start one today. And you can pass it down. You see, if Nehemiah would have come off that wall because what he had saw, he would have affected every generation behind him. It would have even affected us here today if he wouldn't have rebuilt that wall. Number two, don't come down because of observation. Don't come down because of opposition. You see, everywhere you're going to build, we turn back into our text in Nehemiah chapter number 6 and look in verse number 2. This is what it says. Nehemiah was almost finished with building the wall here in Nehemiah chapter number 6. He'd already had everything pretty much worked out. This is what it said. He said that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together in some plain of the villages of Ono, in the plain of Ono, but they sought to do me mischief. I want to say this, don't come down because of opposition. My pastor has taught us this. Anywhere there's an operation of heaven, there's always going to be opposition from hell. And don't think it's strange because hell's right nipping at you. But let me tell you this, I've read the end of the story. It ain't going to catch up with you. You see, a lot of us think it's got us and we're going to get down because of it. Let me tell you, it may be nipping at your heels this morning, but let me tell you what, don't lay down and wave the white flag and say, I'm done. Because just because he just about got you is a good news, because you're running away from him instead of going toward him. I thank God we've got Jesus, our Savior, has come between all that. And let me tell you this, don't come down because of opposition. I want you to see, first of all, they had opposition on the outside. Sanballat and Geshem and Tobiah is on the outside. And let me tell you what they try to do. They try to get to Nehemiah through deception. The devil is always methodical in the ways that he tries to get you. He don't come to you with some new plan. He don't come to you. I'm speaking about myself because I can only speak to myself with this. He don't have some kind of great plan. He don't have some kind of new plan. He knows how to get you. And he's methodical in there. If you can just use your imagination for just a second, hopefully you got one. He is up there devising up snares and traps for us to fall into. You see, Nehemiah, Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem was devising a trap for old Nehemiah. They said, if we can get Nehemiah off that wall for just one second, it'll change this. 1 second. Nehemiah said in his heart, they thought to do me mischief. God had gave him some great discernment. And if Nehemiah ever would have come off that wall, I believe this with all my heart, 1 second, he would have never got back on there. You see, there's a lot of people that's not here today as we look around because they chose to come off the wall. They said, I won't come off for long. I won't come off for long. But now they're not even here. And they said, well, and some of them it's been 3 months. Some of them it's been 6 months. Some of them it's been a year. Some of them it's been more than 10 years. They said, I will not come off this wall. But now they're off the wall. Right. Don't think it's strange today if you were to come off the wall that it's hard to get back in this thing. You see, it's hard to get back into the rhythm. Let me tell you this. I encourage you this morning, don't come off the wall. Don't come down because opposition is always going to be there. Nehemiah chapter number 2 and verse number 10 says this. It says, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant of the Ammonite heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there would come a man to seek for the welfare of the children of Israel. You see, just because you're here today and you're doing a good work, there's always going to be an opposition from the outside. Always opposition from the outside. And I'll speed this thing up. We always know that the devil, he says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We understand all that. We know there's always opposition on the outside. But what do you do when there's opposition on the inside? You see, Nehemiah was fixing to run into that. Nehemiah had set him up on the wall. And he knew about the opposition from the outside. He said they had a weapon in one hand and they had work in the other hand. He had guarded them up and he had taught them how to do that. He had taught them how to work while they guarded themselves. But let me tell you what he did. And what he didn't understand was opposition that was going to happen from the inside. Look down in Nehemiah chapter number 4 and verse number, chapter number 5, verse number 1. Says this, and there was a great cry talking about the people that's there working with him. See, I notice this, when you're working close to somebody is when the stress gets real high. Anybody ever had that happen to them? When you work real close. That's why when husband and wife work together, you know what happens? The stress gets real high. Opposition on the inside, that's what I'm talking about. I notice when I work with my wife and we work real close together for a long amount of time, that's when we're the most stressful to each other. I ain't saying it's a good thing, but I'm going to tell you what happens. The person I work with at work, me and him, I've got an office I go to 3 days in Anniston, and me and him share an office. We got a pretty large office, and we kind of got it divided down the middle. But you know who I'll get snappy with first? That guy I work alongside with. You know who you're going to snap at first in a church? The guy you work close to. You know why husband and wife snap at each other? Because that's who you work close to. You know why children snap against their mother and parents, and why mother and parents snap against the children? Because they're real close to you. And you always hurt somebody that's closest to you more than you will somebody that's on that's farthest away from you. That's just the way it is. I've hurt many people in my life that was the closest to me because of opposition on the inside. First of all, you'll see there was a fear. They feared while they worked. I already read that over in Nehemiah chapter number 4. You'll find those verses. Now you'll see it because they worked close beside each other. You'll see it because there was a famine. Their food supply had been cut off. Look down in verse number 2 there. It says, for chapter 5, verse number 2, it says, for their word that said, we, our sons and daughters, are many. Therefore we take up corn for them that we may eat and live. When your food supply is threatened, let me tell you what you become. You'll become stressful. Anybody will. Here in America, if our food supply is cut off, and most of us we know how to do is go down to Walmart. Let me tell you this, our country will go back to farming one day. What we started on is one of these days we'll go back to what we always started on. We'll need to teach a generation when our food supply how to grow food. Let me tell you this. Don't come down because of opposition on the inside. These people was here. They said, our sons and daughters are many, and we take up corn for them that we may eat and live. Their food supply was threatened. And let me tell you what, they was going against Nehemiah because of their food supply. Not only you'll see their food supply was set up, was cut off, you'll see also that their provisions were cut off. Look down in verse number 3. It says, some also there were said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses that we might buy corn because of the dearth. They began to feud with them because provisions have been cut off. They said, we had mortgaged our lands to help fund this thing. And now, look where we're at. And let me tell you what they began to do. They began to feud on the inside. Let me tell you why the devil works. He would love to divide us up. You see, that's why our nation is where it's at this morning, because a house divided against itself cannot stand. A church divided against itself cannot stand. Your home at your house between your husband and wife cannot stand if you're divided. The devil will love to get in there and he'll put a wall up between husband and wife, and he'll begin to divide you to where one end of the house is your end and the other end of the house is hers. And he drives that wedge in there and he gets a wall in there and it becomes opposition on the inside. Let me tell you what the psalmist David said in Psalm chapter number 55. In verse number 12, this is what it said. Listen to this. It said, for it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hateth me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Let me tell you what David was saying there. He said, there was a man that was so close to me, and I could have took it if it had been somebody on the outside coming against me. But let me tell you what happens the hardest. Is when somebody on the inside comes up against me and rises himself up against me, then I can't take it. He said, if it had been anybody else, I could have took it. Anybody from the outside, we expect that opposition. From Satan, we expect that opposition. But somebody that walked hand in hand with us as we went to the house of God, as a husband and a wife, or as a children and their parents, he said, I could have took it, but them, I cannot take. He said, I cannot take that circumstance. You see, we think this thing is all, we got it all worked out. But let me tell you, when that devil drives that division among us, I'm going to tell you, it's a hard thing. Don't come down because of observation. Don't come down because of opposition. But lastly, don't come down because of opportunity. You see, we live in the greatest day of opportunity. You see, you can go to anybody and be a light to them. We can go to anybody outside this church and present the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel that has been passed down to us through the ages and be a light to them. There's great opportunity in our schools. There's great opportunity in your workplace. Let me show you what Nehemiah did. Look back in our text in Nehemiah chapter number 6. I want to read in verse number 15. Nehemiah 6 and 15. Don't come down because of opportunity. Verse number 15 says this. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. Verse 16. It said, and it came to pass when all of our enemies heard thereof, and the heathen were about us, saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Don't come down because of opportunity. See, all these people that come against Nehemiah and was all against him, when they looked at that wall that he had finished in 52 days, they looked at him and said, it wasn't no Nehemiah that was able to do that, but it was God. You see, all this thing you're building up today, you may say, well, it looks too great, but I'm still working. One of these days, God's going to get the glory for all that. And you may not even see it. You may not even know it. There's been men today that I've listened to that are dead and gone that have preached a message that's changed my life. It's passed down through the ages. I want you to see, first of all, don't come down because of opportunity, because it's a witness that was shown. They perceived it was of their God. You see, each day that you live and you're building and adding on to that wall, restoring those breaches, putting out a little fire here and there, the people around you are noticing it and they're looking at it and say, well, it ain't so much him, but it's that other guy up in heaven that's doing that. There's a witness that was shown. Not only that, it was a word that was spread. Turn over to Nehemiah chapter number 8, verse number 1. The witness that was shown. Nehemiah 8, chapter 8, verse 1 says this, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street, and they were before the water gate, and spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded unto Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of the men and the women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning unto midday. I know there wasn't Baptists if he preached that long. Before the men and the women, and they could understand, and all the ears of the people were attentive in the book of the law. You say, what do you mean by all that? I said, don't come down because of opportunity. You say, well, how many people was he preaching to that day? Was it 50? Was it 100? Maybe 200? Maybe 300? Let me tell you how many people was there that day. It was on the upwards of 50,000 people. Because Nehemiah stopped and rebuilt that wall, the 50,000 people in the congregation there was there gathered together that day to hear the Word of God. Nehemiah went before Ezra the scribe and he paved the way so Ezra the scribe could stand before those people on a pulpit of wood and preach the Word of God to them. There's little things that you've done here, little prayers that you said that have paved the way for that man and this man to preach the Word of God in this church that you didn't know anything about. Don't come down because of opportunity. You see, if Nehemiah would have never rebuilt that wall, there was 50,000 people that would have never heard the Word of God. It was a word that was spread. And lastly, not only that, it was a worship that was seen. We're going down in verse number 4. It says, and Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, and they made a purpose. And beside them, all these men. And in verse number 5, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he stood up and opened it, all the people stood up. You say, why don't we stand up in church when the pastor gets up here and reads it? There it is. When he opened the book, all the people stood up. It's out of reverence for God. It's not out of reverence for some preacher, but it's out of reverence for God. And here it is, a worship that was seen in verse number 6. It says, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord their God with their faces to the ground. You see, they had true worship that day. You see, worship will never exalt a person or even a place. It will only exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a worship that was seen. Let me tell you what, church. Don't come down because of observation, the things that you can see. Don't come down because of opposition. There's always going to be that, within and without. One of the greatest things I ever learned as a young Christian is that I learned very early that there was always opposition on the inside. But lastly, don't come down because of opportunity. You see, and I don't think Brother Kim would mind this, in Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 9 and 10, it talks about our church verse. Galatians chapter number 6, verse 9 and 10. Let me tell you what it says. In Galatians 6, 9, it says, and be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And here it is, our church verse. Listen to it. It says, and as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Let me tell you, there's great opportunity out there. There's going to be little children going to come up to you, and you've got great opportunity. There's going to be co-workers come up to you, and you've got great opportunity. There's going to be people and generations that you could change for the Lord Jesus Christ because of opportunity. And the opportunity is there. Thank you for your attention this morning.